This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, pet parents. This is Christy Vaughn, host of The Doggy Dish. And today we are going back to school during this special fall episode. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Listeners, I'd love to introduce you to PetPlate.com. They deliver freshly cooked human-grade dog food right to your door. I've been feeding Pet Plate to my pup for the last 2 weeks, and it's perfect for my picky pup, and perfect for me since I'm so busy. So if you want something super healthy, really tasty, and ready to serve, go to petplate.com/spot to get 30% off your first box. PETPLATE.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Doggy Dish on Pet Life Radio. We are so glad to be back after taking a summer break to create more content for The Doggy Dish. So everything is new and fresh now, and I thought it would be appropriate to return with a back-to-school episode since everyone's going back to school now. Back to school, you ask? Yes. Everybody's getting back into the swing of things after a nice long, but probably not long enough, summer break. We all know it's really tough to get back into the swing of things. And just like you have to prepare your human kiddos for school, it's important to make sure you have a plan for your furry kids as well. And with everyone going in 1,000 different directions, you know, sometimes your pups can get lost in the shuffle and not get the attention that they need and that they deserve. So if you spent the entire summer at home, you know, they're used to getting lots of attention and constantly being tended to and cuddled and played with. And if suddenly everyone is busy with back to school, your furry family members will feel neglected. So even if you don't notice it, they may be feeling a little bit depressed because everyone's leaving them. So this episode is all about making sure your dogs are happy and entertained while you're busy at work, school, or carting the kids around town. All right, so one option you have is doggy daycare. Daycare is a great option for many reasons. One, if you work long hours or if you have a busy schedule, you know your pup is taken care of. Two, daycare can be a great way for your dog to make new friends and stay entertained throughout the day. And three, he or she will get the exercise they need to stay healthy. You know, it's a much better option than napping all day, although I'm not sure they prefer going to daycare over napping all day. But, you know, ongoing socialization is so important for any dog, and a well-run daycare will provide your dog with a safe and enjoyable playtime and interactions with other dogs. And hey, you know what? Your dog may even make a new best friend. And maybe you too. Maybe you'll meet another pet parent there. Now, I don't know about where you live, but I know here there are tons of reputable doggy daycare options. But first, there are a few things that you might want to consider when choosing an appropriate daycare with your furry baby in mind. First, is your dog socialized? Okay, this means, is he or she socialized with dogs outside of your home? Not so much if you have multiple dogs at your home, but maybe dogs down the street, dogs at the dog park, friends' dogs. How does your dog act when he or she is introduced to new dogs for the first time? So maybe think back about that if it's been a while and just, you know, maybe keep that in mind. If you aren't too sure, there are ways to kind of test it out in a less stressful environment if you are considering doggy daycare. You know, first of all, you can invite a friend over who has a dog or maybe has a dog that you've never met before. Choose this dog carefully, though, and make sure you confirm that he or she is not aggressive. And if this one-on-one meeting goes well, you can consider taking the next step and maybe try taking your dog out in public, possibly for a walk in the park where you know other dogs will be on a leash is probably a good start. Maybe to the local pet store. That's always a winner in my house. If you go to the pet store, you can try them out in new spaces with strange dogs and people. And typically pet stores will have a leash rule. So you don't have to worry about dogs just roaming around, hopefully. It'll be a safe environment. You'll have control. And you can kind of just see how they interact with new dogs. If they seem really, really terrified, then that's probably something you need to kind of keep working on. Maybe do a little bit of exposure therapy. And once you've tested him or her, you can start shopping for the perfect doggy daycare. And there's really a lot that goes into it, in case you haven't done this before. You'll need to have a budget in mind at first, because daycare can get expensive pretty quickly. So do your research online first. I always like to start online. Look at reviews, which, reviews can kind of go either way. People are going to have bad experiences anywhere. But just kind of start with that and take it with a grain of salt. You can ask friends, family members who have dogs, post on your local neighborhood Facebook group or a neighborhood app if you use it, and you can get recommendations from nearby neighbors, businesses that they've used. I go on to the neighborhood app to get recommendations for different services and for businesses. So you can just post a question on there. That's a good start. Now, you are going to hear the good and the bad when you ask for honest opinions. So just be warned, you're probably going to need to be prepared to hear good and bad about a lot of different places. Reviews are definitely a good place to start, recommendations as well, but you'll need to make your final decision based on you and your dog's needs. So whatever fits that is ultimately what you're going to need to go with. Now, when you've narrowed down your online search, it is time to start making some visits to the top contenders. Now, I should mention that this first visit should be by yourself. That's just my opinion. I think you should go in by yourself without your dog. You just want to make these initial visits solo so you can focus on checking it out and not so much on how your dog is reacting or be distracted by that, with people coming up and talking to you and your dog. You just want to have a clear mind, go in there and really check it out and be really open-minded about it. So when you walk in, what should you be on the lookout for? All right, so if you want to grab a pen and paper, you can take some notes. I have a ton of questions, and it can be a little bit overwhelming, but there's a lot of good information and a lot of good questions that you can ask yourself and also ask the people at the facilities as you're shopping around, just to make sure it's the right fit. Okay, so here are some things that you should check out when visiting these establishments that you've narrowed down. All right, first and foremost, when you do your research, do you see that the company is reputable? Okay, is this a place that has a ton of bad reviews, a lot of negative reviews from people with horror stories about it? Is it a place that has a good reputation? Is probably the first thing that you need to notice. Check out those online reviews to get the scoop before you narrow it down and actually go in. When you walk in, what is your first impression? Are you greeted by friendly employees or are you ignored? We all get good and bad vibes when we visit a new place. I know I do immediately. I can tell if I walk into a store if I'm going to like that store. What feeling do you get when you walk in? Is it friendly and inviting or chaotic and disorganized? This will tell you so much about how the place is run. So not just how it's run in the back with all the dogs, but also when you walk in for the humans. How do they handle the humans when they walk in? How do they greet you? So that tells you a lot about how they're going to treat your dog. If you think about it, there's kind of some psychology behind it. If they're nice and friendly and warm and inviting to you, then most likely they're going to be like that to your dog. So think about that. Now, how is the check-in process when dropping off your dog? I like to just kind of observe and maybe take a step back and just kind of watch. Maybe visit these places at busy times just to see kind of how organized they are, maybe in the morning or in the evening when there's pickup happening. What is the process when you walk in to drop off your dog or pick up your dog? Does it appear as though they have a system to make sure everything is accounted for and everyone's accounted for? Does it go smoothly? The last thing you want to do when you're dropping off your dog in the morning on your way to work is wait in a long line and then you're in a rush. Okay, so, find out, is there an easy way, if you start taking your dog there, an easy kind of quick check-in and check-out process, or what does that look like? How is the facility laid out? Are the small dogs and the large dogs separate? Typically when you walk into a place, you may or may not be able to see into the actual areas where the dogs are. For the most part, the ones I've been into, you can. you can actually, you know, view from a window, and they're very open about it, and they're not, you know, trying to hide anything because there's nothing to hide. And so you want to make sure that there's a small dog area and a large dog area. You know, how is the play and rest area designed? So are they separate? Is there a designated play area? Is there a designated rest area? You know, what about the dog gets a little too crazy or starts to overheat? That's something I always think about. Will someone be attending to them to make sure everyone is playing nicely? Okay, that's a big one. Will they always have a supervisor? You know, because fights can break out. So you want to make sure that that is taken care of and they're proactive about that. You know, for me personally, I always worry about playing too hard and overheating since my dogs have a tendency to do this. So that is always, always something I think about. You know, ask if there's a timeout room, if your dog needs to take a break. Okay, that's so important. Are all dogs temper tested before being accepted into their facilities? This is huge. And if you're going to a reputable place, they will most definitely temper test all dogs. This is something that they're going to ask you to do with your dog. And so don't be offended because you don't want them to make exceptions. You want them to temper test every single dog that comes into their facility and interacts with your dog. So this is something that happens across the board. But I would ask, you know, what does the temper test look like? Ask them for details, you know, just in case you would like to start the process for your dog. And the application process to be accepted into the facility should be pretty detailed and lengthy. If not, that should be a red flag for you. You know, you want to make sure your dog is safe when he or she is there all day. So that means the process for every single dog who interacts with your dog or potentially interacts with your dog, you know, it should be a pretty detailed process. They should be asking you all kinds of questions about your dog. What about proof of vaccinations? A facility should always require proof before a dog is accepted into their program. That is definitely a must. And if it's not, I would run the other way. Are the facilities clean? Does it look clean when you walk in? Does it smell clean? Now, of course, when you have a whole bunch of dogs in one place, you know, the smell, it might be not so great. But if it's overwhelming, if it's a horrible, overwhelming smell, then that's a problem, obviously. The facility should most definitely be cleaning up after the dogs. That's part of what they do. So if you have an overwhelming odor when you walk in, that's not good. Now, also on the flip side, if you smell harsh chemicals when you walk in, that's also not great because that means that your dog is breathing chemicals all day long. And if it's overwhelming to you when you walk in, think about your dog being there all day. What about special accommodations for dogs? How do they administer medications and special foods? Will your dog have a chart or a folder with important information attached? Okay, these are all really great questions to ask. And if they seem to be getting annoyed with your questions at this point, then that's also a red flag. They should be used to pet parents asking tons and tons of questions. I've actually seen doggy daycares give out report cards every day. So you know exactly what your dog has been up to. Did they behave? Did they play nice with others? You know, it's just like a child. You know, you want to know how your child did at school. You want that feedback. So maybe ask those questions too. Not all of them do it, but it's a nice touch for sure. Another thing to look for is, are there webcams? You know, a lot of doggy daycares have webcams, which is a really cool feature. Not all of them, but more and more are doing it now. So they'll have webcams in the play area. So while you're at work or you're carting your kids around, you can log in real quickly and check out what your dog's doing. So it's a really cool thing. You can feel like you're right there with them. You can make sure that they're doing okay. They're playing with others. So ask about that as well, if that's a feature that they offer. Now, how are the staff members? And I mentioned, you know, when you walk in, are they friendly? Are they acknowledging you? But this is a huge one. Are they knowledgeable? That is a big one. You know, do they know about dogs? Do they have some type of veterinarian training? Or maybe they were a vet tech before. You know, are they able to respond to emergency situations quickly? You know, and that's another question to ask is, what is the process if somehow a dog gets injured? What is the process for getting them the medical attention that they need? Is there a vet that comes to them? Do they take the dog somewhere? Do they have all of that medical information on record so they know who your vet is so they can take them? I would just ask that as one of your questions. You know, what is the process if my dog needs medical attention? You know, do you call me right away? What happens? And, you know, I'll be honest, I've visited doggy daycares where the staff members do not appear to be dog lovers. Heck, they didn't even act like they liked dogs. And this is a huge turnoff to me. So if you don't like dogs, go work somewhere else. That's my opinion. You know, you have to have a passion for dogs in order to work with them all day long. And my opinion is this. If you aren't going to be warm and friendly while I'm there, how will you treat my dogs when I'm not there? It's just something to think about. You know, it's definitely a good question. It may sound a little bit harsh, but it's definitely a good question to ask yourself and to consider when you walk into these facilities. All right, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with more back to school tips after these messages from our sponsors.
Sit, stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
What if you could protect the life of your cat with something so simple and affordable that you already use every day? Get ready for the evolution of kitty litter. It's Pretty Litter. Along with all the features you've come to expect from your kitty litter, Pretty Litter's patented and scientific formula will also monitor your cat's health and detect illnesses early while providing industry-leading odor control. Two kitty litters, same cat, same price. But there's one important difference. Pretty Litter reacts to your cat's waste by detecting health issues simply by changing color. And the key is that Pretty Litter detects these issues before your cat shows symptoms of physical illness or pain, likely saving you major dollars in vet bills while protecting the health of your cat. What do you think, little guy? Ready to switch litter? Pretty Litter. Colorful insight into your cat's health.
Go to prettylittercats.com/cat101 or use coupon code CAT101 to get 20% off your first subscription order.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Doggy Dish on Pet Life Radio. Before the break, I shared some questions you should ask when shopping for a doggy daycare. Some things to consider. Now, after doing your research and making your initial visit to the facility, you should form your opinion pretty quickly, I would think, even after all of those questions. And be sure to take notes while you're there so you can go back and look and kind of make your final decision. You know, if you have maybe two or three that you're visiting, you want to take some notes because it'll all start to blend together. Now, once you've narrowed it down to your top two or three facilities, I would then ask them about their admission process for your dog. You know, are they accepting new dogs at this time? You know, what does that admission process look like? How do we get started? Ask if you can bring him or her for a quick visit, just to kind of get a feel for the place. You know, most likely they will say, of course. And if you want to move forward in the admissions process, they'll probably have you bring your dog in for maybe a half a day to do their temperament test and kind of see how they get along with others and how they play with some of their regulars, you know, because they probably have dogs who are there every single day and have gotten used to the place. So they kind of want to bring your dog into the pack and see how they interact with everyone. All right, so that's all about doggy daycare. So what other options are there to make sure your pup stays happy, healthy, and entertained while you're busy with life? Let's talk about a couple of other options you may consider. Now, if doggy daycare isn't feasible for you, or maybe you have a senior dog or one with medical issues, you know, doggy daycare might not be the best option because it can be a little bit overwhelming. If you have a younger dog, more active dog, socialized, doggy daycare is perfect because they will get the exercise they need, they will make friends, and they will be entertained, and they won't be napping on the couch all day while you're gone. But if you have these other types of dogs, maybe they get nervous, maybe they just can't be around other dogs all the time, they get overwhelmed, a dog sitter or a dog walker might be a better option. So those are two different things. These are great options for people who have multiple dogs too. You know, for me, this option, having a sitter or a walker, works really great because I have three dogs, and rounding up my pack, putting them in the car and hauling them off to doggy daycare sounds like a really big chore that I don't want to do. So that's something that you probably need to consider. For everyday short-term care, you know, I would just suggest a dog walker who comes to your house or apartment and walks your dog. Typically, this is a pretty affordable option. Some walkers offer multi-dog discounts. So if you have a large pack that needs walking every single day at the same time, you know, as long as they can all be walked together, you could probably work out some type of arrangement for a discount since they're coming to your house anyways. You know, so they probably wouldn't charge you per dog. It would probably be like per visit. If your dog just needs to be let out and fed and watered, that's probably even more affordable if they offer this service. Now, if you go this route, be sure to do your research, just like with the doggy daycare. You know, post a message on social media or on your local neighborhood app or message board and ask people for suggestions. They may know someone who lives nearby and has experience, and that would be ideal. You know, maybe someone is trying to break into the business of dog walking and they don't have that much experience, but they come recommended to you by someone else and you know that they're responsible and they're trustworthy. You know, hey, give them a shot. You never know. You might be helping someone out and they'll be helping you as well. You know, if you don't have someone in mind, maybe consider hiring a high school or college student who's responsible and ideally has dogs of their own, because then obviously they're going to know how to take care of dogs. Now, regardless of who you choose, just make sure you arrange a meeting ahead of time so they can meet your dog. This is so important. You know, you don't want a stranger coming in. That might stress them out. I know one of my dogs would probably go Cujo on them if a stranger walked into the house and just tried to take them outside. So I would want her to meet the stranger ahead of time so this person's not a stranger anymore. You know, they need to sniff them. They need to do what dogs do. They need to greet them in their own way. They need to make sure that they're okay, that they get a good vibe from them. All the things that dogs do when they meet new dogs, they need to do that with people too. So just know that, you know, they need to kind of check them out too and make sure they're okay. And honestly, if my dog doesn't think someone's okay, I usually don't think they're okay. So I trust my dog's judgment. So just kind of listen to them and make sure that they meet them ahead of time. Observe their interactions. Make sure your dog feels comfortable, isn't stressed out. You'll be able to tell this right away. You'll know your dog. You know, most dog walkers have a pretty rigid schedule, but should be able to accommodate your dog and work them into their daily rotation. I know the dog walkers I know, they have certain areas and certain neighborhoods they go to at a certain time every single day for their regular clients. So just, you know, ask some questions about when they would be able to come by your house. And if you have a preference, you know, let them know. Speak up and say, my dog needs to go out at this time, and see what they can do. Now, they'll probably ask you to fill out some paperwork, and that's normal. They'll ask some basic questions about your dog, and then hopefully they'll ask some more detailed questions about their habits, their likes, their dislikes, food portions, what, you know, when they eat, what they eat, how much, any medication they may be taking, and anything else you want to share. Be sure to tell them everything. Even if they don't ask, tell them. It's better to have more information than for them to guess and make a mistake, especially if your dog has special needs. Now, if your walker will be there for mealtime, make sure you show them where everything is when they do their initial visit. I'm so neurotic about this that I have everything labeled and all the emergency information written out just in case. So if my walker comes in, she knows where the food is. She doesn't have to guess. It's all labeled. She knows which scoop to use for which dog. She knows everything. She knows where everything is in my kitchen. So that's always a good thing. Also, if you have your dog with medical issues or any issues in the past, any type of surgeries they've recently had or any type of anything that they have experienced or currently experiencing, make sure to tell the walker so there's no surprises. You know, if your dog is prone to seizures, for example, you definitely want to disclose that information to them. You don't want to surprise them. You don't want them to be alarmed if it's nothing to be alarmed about. So just make sure you disclose that to them. Now, two of our dogs are prone to heat stroke. So anyone who watches our dogs knows that. And even though they know it, I tell them every time. I warn them. I ask them to be really careful. So I just remind them. You know, it's okay to remind them. And anyone who watches our dogs knows that they can't stay outside more than they need to, especially in the summertime. So if it's hot out or humid, they do their business outside and then they're immediately back in the air conditioning. It's just, everyone knows that. It's always nice when your caretaker has veterinary experience just in case there is an emergency. You know, it's not necessary, but just, you know, basic medical experience would be great, or first aid for dogs, CPR. There's a CPR for dogs class that you can take. And, you know, just the basics like that would be really nice. And it would give you peace of mind when you're leaving your dogs in the hands of others. Now, the last type of care is in-home pet sitting. So a pet or dog sitter is different than a walker because they tend to offer extended stay services, either in your home or in their home. Now, this can be a wonderful alternative to boarding your dog when you're going on vacation. And if you're going someplace that isn't dog friendly or just isn't feasible for you to bring your dog along, maybe you're going on an international trip on a, you know, you have to be on a plane for a long time. Of course, you don't want to subject your dog to that if you're just going to be gone for maybe a week to 10 days. So it's probably better to leave your dog in their own setting so they feel comfortable than trying to cart them along somewhere. But first, you will have to decide if you want someone staying at your house, so a house sitter slash dog sitter, or if you want your dog staying at someone else's house. So this is a big decision. You need to ask yourself this. If it's someone you know and trust, having them stay at your house is a great idea for a couple of reasons. When you're out of town, you want to make sure that your house is secure, right? You don't want anyone breaking in, and you want to make sure that people in the neighborhood don't know you're gone. The people you don't want to know you're gone don't know it. So having someone stay at your house is a good idea. They can be there and live there while you're gone. You know, turn lights on and off, and there's a car in the driveway, and so no one really knows that anything is going on. So that's number one. Number two, it's really great for your dogs to stay in their routine while you're away. They won't be stressed out. They'll be in their home with their own beds. It's kind of a win-win, if you think about it. But you have to trust the person. You're having someone stay at your house, it's kind of a big deal, especially when you're not there. Now, if you don't feel comfortable with someone staying in your home while you're gone, consider finding someone who takes dogs into their home. And there's plenty of those people. And there's different services out there that screen pet sitters, and you can go online and kind of check those out. But there's some reputable sites out there that will match you with the most appropriate. They'll give you their profile, their background checked. They give all of their experience and how many dogs they take in and all that information. So that's a good place to start. But, you know, just like finding a daycare, you definitely need to do your research, especially if you're finding a new person who you don't know. Referrals are always best. So, again, ask around, ask your neighbors, ask family and friends, you know, what do you do when you're going out of town and you need someone to watch your dog? And maybe they'll have some suggestions. If you are doing in-home care at their house, you'll want to visit their place and ask a lot of questions as well. You know, do they have a good space to make sure everyone has enough room? How many dogs do they cap it at? Will your dogs have their own space? And will there be enough playtime? And what if they just want to relax? Okay, so I would go and check it out. And, you know, they should allow you to come in and kind of look at where the dogs stay. I mean, I think that's normal. You know, will they be sleeping in crates or out of crates on their dog bed? You know, that's something to consider as well. If your dogs are not used to sleeping in crates, that might be a little bit traumatic. You know, if they're used to just roaming the house and sleeping on the couch or on the bed or in their bed, and then suddenly they have to sleep in a crate for a week straight. I don't know. You have to really think about that, what that's going to do to your dog. How much outside time will they get? These are all wonderful questions to ask. Also, pricing, of course, is a good one to ask. What are their rates? Usually in-home care like this is a little on the pricey side. However, having that peace of mind that your babies are being taken care of while you're away is priceless, in my opinion. You know, some sitters will offer multi-dog discounts. You know, you can just ask them. And like with the dog walkers, be sure to disclose all that important information to the sitter. I mean, I type out notes, even for our regular sitters. I make sure they have everything, you know, phone numbers and veterinary information, emergency vet information, shot records. I mean, you just don't know. You want to be prepared. I always send extra food. I account for extra days. What if you get stuck? You know, what if there's a storm and your plane gets stuck somewhere and you're delayed? What if there's some type of emergency and you have to go someplace else before going home? You know, you never know. And you just want to make sure that your dogs are taken care of. And in case the food runs out, make sure the sitter knows what type of food they eat. That's important too. So I always have all that information typed out. You know, what all would you want them to know for an overnight visit? What, just think about your normal routine, your dog's normal routine. What do they need to know? What do you need to bring to make sure your dog is comfortable and not stressed out? Make sure you ask them, you know, their food, their medications, their bed, if the sitter requests it. Some sitters will say, no, we have beds that are comfortable and they can sleep in those. You can say, oh, well, he or she likes his own bed. You know, I'll send it too. Also, something important, make sure you send something that smells like you. That's a really good one since they'll be away from home, like an old t-shirt or a towel that you don't really care about. It tends to calm them down and make them comfortable when they can smell you, even though you're not there. So that's an interesting one that we don't always think about, but it actually works really well. Now for my dogs, just my, here's my story. I have a small and select group of people who are available to help me when I need to go out of town. And we have a walker who lives in the neighborhood who is wonderful. And we also have an overnight sitter who lives about 10 minutes away. She takes all of our dogs into her own home. She has a very limited amount of dogs that stay with her at one time. And so they're getting the care that they need. And both of these individuals have a key to my house because I trust them and they're extremely reliable and responsible. So that's something else to think about. You know, you're really not only trusting your dog's lives, but you're also trusting them with access to your home, possibly, you know, if they're staying in your home. So if you have to hand over a key, you know, sometimes that's a little bit scary. You should definitely trust that person. Your goal should be to have a good group of individuals you can call on. You know, if one isn't available, you can call the next. And that way, if you need to go out of town suddenly, your dogs will be cared for. You won't have to stress out, and just make sure that you have somebody available that you trust. And it's good to do this ahead of time, even if you aren't planning a trip or you're planning on doing something long term where you need to have care for your dogs. Just be proactive about it and have people on hand. You know, after all, if you're like me, your dogs are your children, so why would you not have the best care and best plan possible for them? All right, well, we are out of time. We'd like to thank our producers for making the show possible. I always love to hear from my listeners, so please send your comments and questions to Christy@PetLifeRadio.com. That's Christy with an I at the end. You can also find The Doggy Dish on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to like us and follow us to keep up with the latest and greatest. Thank you for listening to The Doggy Dish. Bye-bye for now.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.